Good morning. This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Just a couple of weeks ago, Milwaukee's Sherman Park neighborhood was on fire, both figuratively and literally. Several businesses burned to the ground as protesters took to the streets in a protest sparked by the fatal police shooting of 23-year-old Sylvel Smith. Now the neighborhood is relatively calm, but yesterday Wisconsin Attorney Brad Schimmel announced that the state will not release videos from two body cameras until the investigation is complete. Jabril Farage is a reporter for the Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service. He was in Sherman Park during the unrest. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and he began by describing his experiences during the demonstrations.
I was there Sunday afternoon and Monday afternoon, so that was the extent of kind of what I've seen in the time after Saturday night. While I was there, it was peaceful. I was there until about 9 p.m. both nights. There were large demonstrations. There was a vigil for the family on Sunday night and some prayer circles and things of that nature, a fundraiser for the family, and people coming in every day to be part of what was going on, help clean up, and things like that.
Now, when you say a prayer circle for the family, you mean the family of Sylvel Smith?
Well, that was, it wasn't particularly, I don't know if there was anybody from the family involved, but it was a diverse group of pastors and people of faith from churches all over Milwaukee.
So a lot of media outlets, both local and national, linked the demonstrations to the fatal police-involved shooting of Sylvel Smith in Milwaukee. But almost immediately after the demonstrations and the unrest really started up, there were a lot of community leaders who were quick to dismiss the idea that Smith's death was the cause of this unrest, even though it might have sparked it. And they pushed a very different narrative, which your piece really digs into.
Yeah. We talked to people on the ground who were there. Like I said, I was there over two evenings, was able to speak with a lot of people. And essentially, the response was that the events that occurred happened because of a fundamental distrust between the community and the police. Obviously, the body cam footage hasn't been released yet. There have been some comments about what is shown in that. But the people that I talked to, the things that I overheard while I was there, they really just don't believe the things that they're being told. And that really stems, you know, from, again, one of the main parts of the story is that people talk about the regular racial profiling that people in the Sherman Park area undergo, that there are, you know, that black people are disproportionately stopped by the police and stopped sometimes even when there isn't a reason to. So that's where, you know, a lot of this feeling comes from. But then also, you look at a community like Sherman Park, and it mirrors much of the rest of the central city in the way of having much less jobs than the area used to, and not a lot of opportunities, particularly for young people who are the ones that we saw, you know, that were primarily involved in a lot of the violence that happened.
So when we think about Sylvel Smith, it seems like people were pretty quick to dismiss that link, in part because he's not exactly the perfect victim. You know, we talk about this sort of concept of anybody with a past, suddenly they're on trial. Do you think that was part of the impetus for trying to make sort of a divide, saying that, yes, this might have sparked it, but as you were just saying, it's about a lot more than that?
Well, you know, I think one of the other things that really came out when I was talking to people was how the media portrayal of the event, both the shooting and what happened in the wake of that, and Smith in general, more than one people said a skewed portrayal of it or a one-sided portrayal really affected and affects the way that people around Milwaukee see these events. you know, one gentleman I spoke with who lives near Wauwatosa spoke about how he was referred to using a racial slur after Saturday night's events. I talked with, you know, other people who really echoed that same feeling. I had one black gentleman who had brought his son to the park in the wake of it, and he said, you know, why does a gas station have to be burned for people to come here with cameras? So it's really, you know, this feeling of being ignored until something like this happened. And you know, to your point, I don't think the details around the shooting mattered as much as what has been built up, the feelings, the angst, the anger that has built up in that area, quite frankly, for decades.
Well, and that's another question I have for you. Attorney General Brad Schimmel announced that they will not release the footage of the body cam videos until after an investigation has concluded. You know, you watched that press conference. Did they give any kind of timeline for the release of these videos?
Well, it was difficult to hear some of the questions that were asked, but it didn't sound like any timeline was given. You know, this is something, again, that goes to that mistrust between the community and the black community in particular and the police department. One of the sources that I quoted in my story was Reggie Moore, who's the director of the Office of Violence Prevention here for the city of Milwaukee. And he said getting information out in a timely manner in the immediate aftermath is something that's really important here. He called it justice in the short term. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen, at least right away. Now, in that video, you know, they said that they're undergoing a thorough investigation, that they don't want to rush and miss anything. But to me, there didn't seem to be enough urgency. And that's really something, again, that, you know, people have said and in the wake of these events, that the longer that it goes without this body cam footage being released, the more the distrust between the community and city officials, authorities grows. In the case of Dontre Hamilton's shooting, there was no announcement of whether or not charges would be brought until about a year later. So I think there are a lot of questions around that piece right now. And you know, I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
I mean, that's pretty common, too. You know, a year, certainly months will go on and on until we really get any of that video footage. I wonder, you know, do you think that withholding these videos could cause more unrest, or do you think it'll just make people feel a little less safe in their communities?
Well, that was one of the questions, you know, that I asked people is essentially what needs to happen here in order for this not to happen again. And the question was really, or the answer, I should say, was really that we need to start listening to people, particularly in these communities that people in Sherman Park and other areas of the central city have been ignored in this city for a long time. To kind of go back and talk about the media perceptions, someone said that, you know, everyone has a story and that we need to start listening to those different stories. And on top of that, really, again, you know, asking what makes a healthy and safe and prosperous community? How do we create that? Again, Reggie Moore, you know, he mentioned that that in order to do that, we really need to address the inequities been fostered in the central city of Milwaukee for a long time and look to, you know, as many people touched on, invest in education, invest in jobs, and really provide opportunities for a community that has extremely disproportionate rates of unemployment, poverty, and a lot of other things.
What you said about listening, especially, we had a panel discussion about the unrest in Sherman Park, and that was a big point that everyone made, that people need to start listening to one another. But one of the things they also mentioned in that was they felt like older residents had a very different perception of the violence in Sherman Park than younger people in their community, and that they really wanted older residents, older people in Sherman Park to start having those kinds of conversations just in their community, not even in the rest of the city. Do you feel like people are having those conversations?
You mean kind of across generational lines?
Yeah.
Maybe. Again, you know, we'll have to wait and see on this. One of the things that I heard, though, was that there is a disconnect between the youth and other groups, that there were kind of three groups involved in the few days of demonstrations and other things that went on there. You know, there was the youth who, a source told me, you know, are angry about the way that the police treat them, don't have very much opportunity, and they are the, you know, the part of this group that really is dealing with some of the highest unemployment rates, not very many activities. Then there's a group of, you know, 30-somethings who are working with the youth in the area, are organizing them, and this gentleman really said, you know, are upset both about the police profiling, but also about how the community is being violent between itself. And then an older group, which he said was sympathetic, but not really on the ground, didn't really understand what was going on, or you know, how these youth were feeling. And in my work in general, this is something that I've heard a lot of, is older people, you know, talking about how the younger generation is and this and that. But there really does seem to be a disconnect, you know, across the city. And, you know, I think to your question, in order for us to see some real change on the side of the community itself, that those conversations really do need to start happening.
Jabril Farage is a reporter for the Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service. He was in Sherman Park during the demonstrations 10 days ago. He spoke with Joy Powers.